Good morning. I'm thankful to be here with you, thankful to be in this place. The Lord has blessed us to be together, to come together with the people of God for worship. The report this morning is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ in Hawaii, specifically on the island of Oahu. It's where Robin and I live. We are thankful to be here. I say that if you've been listening to the weather at all last night, we almost swam here. We took a canoe all the way through the entire state of Tennessee. We know that the United States, as well as the entire world, is a very beautiful place to live. And I look forward driving down the road. Well, I like looking at everything else. Well, all we've seen was rain and more rain yesterday. And as we were traveling through Nashville, well, we almost did not get here. But thanks to God, we were blessed to be able to be here. Brother, and I appreciate very much your sharing with me together in the preaching of the gospel in the Hawaiian Islands, specifically again on the island of Oahu. It was late January 2007 that the brethren in Hawaii asked me to move to the island of Oahu for a minimum of 5 years, and we have now been there exactly half that time. As we read scriptures and see the preaching of the gospel done in many places, we see that the apostolic standard shows us and teaches us that there are things that we are accountable for. We're accountable to God, obviously. We're accountable to those who share with us in the preaching of the word. We share the word. This is something that we do to encourage one another. Brethren, you have not only shared with me, but many of you have sent Robin and I notes. You've sent emails. You've sent cards. This church has done very well, and I appreciate that. Some churches, all they do is send their support, but we appreciate what you do. We appreciate everything you do. We appreciate the prayers. You have to be doing that also. We know you're doing that because of the other things that you're doing. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas, at the end of the first preaching trip, as they returned to Antioch of Syria, they reviewed their work with the brethren there. In Acts chapter 14, verse 27, the scripture reads in that place, "Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Later they would do the same thing before the brethren in Phoenicia and also Samaria and in Jerusalem, as we see in Acts 15, 3 and 4. We notice that the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, who shared with him in his labors in the gospel by financially supporting him, and we read that in our reading together this morning. And I seek to do the same before you this morning. This is not going to be a slideshow with a lot of beautiful pictures. That's not my point. But you cannot help to see the beautiful things in Hawaii. But it is about the preaching of the gospel, the most precious and the most beautiful thing that there is that God has given you and I. Brethren, Robin and I, thank you very much for the invitation again to be here and to share this work with you. Thank you for your financial support and everything that you give. Again, it is a privilege to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brethren, we live out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And we, like most of the brethren at Leeward, we are a long, long way from home. We have all moved from faraway places. And if it's not us that has moved, some of the brethren, their parents have moved. But we're all immigrants to the islands. Robin and I, like many, have left family. We have our son, Aaron, who is living and attending graduate school in Cincinnati. Aaron is in Cincinnati. Since we moved there, he's been doing some preaching, and we're thankful to God for that. And we hope and pray that he continues to do that. But he's finishing up his graduate, and later on here in a couple months, Aaron will be marrying this young lady named Stacy Wallace. She is a sister in Christ. And Lord willing, we have just met her, in fact, just the other day, for the very first time, our future daughter-in-law. And Lord willing, they will come out to Hawaii where we plan on helping them to tie that knot real well. Our daughter Allison, she is living in Louisville. She's finally finished her schoolwork and is working as a dental hygienist. There she is with her cat. We have our children, but they are busy doing their things. And we trust and hope that they are being faithful to the Lord in everything. Robin has trained the children to leave home. To be about their business, and we hope that we have shown them the way of the Lord, and we believe and hope that they continue to be faithful to the Lord in all things. My parents also, My dad serves as an elder in the Lachlan Church, the congregation where we were just holding the meeting last week. And my dad has some, not the greatest of health, but this, because of our children, because of our parents, because of loved ones, we're able to be able to move and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in faraway places like Hawaii. The state of Hawaii is just greater in size than the state of Massachusetts. There are six islands that make up the state. And you recognize these names. Probably everybody knows these names. If not, everybody wants to go to these places. I don't know why. It's just the best weather on the planet at times. No snow in the wintertime, except on the big island, on the volcano. But beautiful place to live. We live in a place called Oahu, the island of Oahu. Oahu is larger. You know, you think a lot of times, my children even thought that you could ride a bicycle everywhere on Oahu. It's just a little small little island, you know. It's not. It's bigger than the beltway around most cities. Oahu's southern shores are filled with the population. In fact, 4 out of every 5 of Hawaii's residents live on Honolulu's south shores and up the center of the island. The Halls know about that. Sister Roberts knows about that. And we miss them very much. You got them back, but we miss them. And we were thankful to have just a short time. And some of you have visited these islands. And we appreciate visitors, brothers and sisters of Like Precious Faith come to see us. It's a real blessing to have brethren come. But we understand this island as people living there. Just not a place, an exotic place to go on vacation and stay on vacation. That's not our purpose to be there. Our purpose is to talk to people and about their souls, to be with brethren. What do you think about when you see Hawaii? A lot of people think, well, Honolulu, Hawaii, and see the colors, the blue oceans and things like that. Other people think of Waikiki and things like this and doing those types of things. Ladies and gentlemen, Waikiki is nice and everything, but there's a lot of immorality going on there. This is not why we're in Hawaii. And this is not really, but this is what people think about when they go there. Or maybe they think about some of the most beautiful things we can partake of, like the sunsets, the waves, and things like that. But again, this is not why we're there. Pearl Harbor is one of the main tourist destinations. In fact, about once a week, I'll go there to eat lunch. It's only 4 miles down the road, and I can get a good egg salad sandwich for about $4 and a bottle of water that costs $2. But again, all the people coming in and out of the islands, again, what do you think about when you see Hawaii? Some people think of some of the most beautiful things, and yes, some of these things, just like here in Alabama and all parts of the world, you can think about the things that God has done, what God has created. Surely these things remind us of the Lord. Paul would talk about that in Romans chapter 1. Again, what do you see? What do you see in Hawaii? Oh, people just drops their mouth and say, oh, wow, what a beautiful picture. But what do you see? Do you see all those souls that are living there and the people living around there? I put this picture in for a specific purpose to make that point. And this is just one part of the island. The Hawaiian Islands has a million people living there, over a million people. And let's see what the census is going to say when this is done, if they ever get everybody counted. But Oahu is the most populous of the islands. Again, that's why we're here. We also look at the Hawaiian Islands, and the Hawaiian Islands is out in the middle of the Pacific Rim. All the nations of peoples that's around. Thus, we see all kinds of people there, living there, people from every different nation, if you will. Take that particular point of view. We are in the center of peoples from cultures and nations and languages out there in the middle of the Pacific. A lot of people are visiting there. We see people that Hawaii is one of the most racially diverse places in all the world. There is no majority there in that place. Everyone is a minority. Everyone is a minority. Think about that as you talk and deal with people and interact with people living there. As you talk about the religion that's in the islands, predominantly the islands people are Catholic. There's the Mormons. You have all the major religions in not only in the United States there or in some form, but also in the entire world. And then there are the elements of the Hawaiian religion that's interwoven in their society and the religions and their superstitions and their chants and the Hawaiian mythology, and people just fall into that, you know. But it's kind of integrated into society. You build a building, you got to have some Hawaiian priest of some sort come out there and take his leaves and sprinkle it in some type, I guess, holy water and have to sprinkle it and have some prayers and chants and stuff. Or you build a road, build a new driveway, build a new garage. Everything's got to be blessed out there. You got all this stuff. The Leeward Church, the meeting place where the congregation meets there, where I preach amongst brethren, is in a little Filipino neighborhood. Actually, I say little. It's kind of a large Filipino neighborhood. It's a suburb of Honolulu. And this particular neighborhood is primarily influenced by the Roman Catholic Church, the Iglesia Ni Cristo. Now, that's Church of Christ, but it's the Iglesia Ni Cristo denomination. This is the group that come out of the Catholic Church in the Philippines, and their influence is felt largely into the Hawaiian Islands. So many of the Filipinos that live in this neighborhood are tied into that denomination. So they're either Catholic or of this particular denomination. And then we have the Pentecostal influences of the emerging churches, just like you have here in this part of the country, and have to deal with that. Most of you all will recognize this particular picture from space. This is Pearl Harbor. We live in Waipahu, which is, as you look at Pearl Harbor, you notice it's kind of like three fingers. We live above that center lock where the mothball fleet is sitting. Robin and I can see the mast from the house, from our house, of the mothball fleet. When we told our son we lived just about a quarter mile from Honolulu when he came to see us a couple years ago, he planned on riding down there on a bicycle or something like that. The island, brethren, is much, much bigger than that. Much, much. It's a major metropolitan city on the South Shore. Again, a lot of people. We can see there's a massive helicopter carrier that you can see from the top of the meeting house. This is the meeting house, or the front door to the meeting house. The Halls have seen this. Sister Roberts have seen this. Some of the visitors have seen this. Sister Cook has seen this. McCallans have seen this. This is where we come to meet together. And yes, that's me. That's a couple of years ago. This is the place where we come together to worship the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, I said, brother, we need to take a picture. I need some pictures to show. So we took the picture of one Lord's Day morning. This is our morning assembly. This is a typical about 55 to 60, 62 of our Sunday morning crowd. Some pictures that I took several years ago had the Halls and Sister Roberts in it, and we were thankful that they were there for that, but the congregation changes, and that's some of the things I want to talk to you about this morning, the changes that's been taking place within the congregation. The Leeward Church of Christ is a congregation of God's people just like they were in Jerusalem, just like at Antioch of Syria, Antioch of Pisidia, just like the congregation here, just like the church here. We are just simply Christians, just like we read about in the New Testament. We follow the New Testament pattern, strive to work toward perfection as individuals, strive to live, to be faithful to the Lord in all things. And here's another particular point to consider. Where you are here in Alabama in the Bible Belt, we are in a religious belt. But it is not necessarily a good particular type of religious way that we're talking about here. A lot of superstition, a lot of evil doctrines, and so on. In fact, when you talk about the Bible Belt and recognize here in Alabama, Tennessee, and so on, in this particular area, there's a lot of churches of Christ. There are some churches of Christ, but all of them, except the Leeward Church, is the faithful group. All of them have departed from the faith. All of them are practicing and following things that is not taught in the Bible. Now, there's another small group that we don't know nothing about. I say that because they left the Leeward group years ago and they have no interaction with us. Brethren, we're all alone out there. And yet what you not only have is this great number here, but you have other brethren up and down the interstates and freeways and the roads here in this town, just over here in Huntsville, over in Athens. We're kind of alone out there. But we have the Lord, and we know our brethren are, and who they are, and where they are. We know there's brethren all over the world, those of like precious faith. The Leeward Church of Christ has been in existence about 47 years. They not only still exist as a congregation, but they're still upholding those same truths and teachings that they did in the beginning. And 47 years ago when they began the church was a big struggle. There was a lot of things. The brethren had no place to meet. There was opposition from other congregations in the island. Although that has still softened, that opposition still continues this day. Those members in the congregation did not know one another well, and that's still a persistent problem, as we'll talk about this morning. In the beginning, the church went through difficulties, not only having a place to meet, but also as they would come together with some personality issues, things. You know, you got to bring a congregation together. They got to think as one. They got to be able to worship as one. Over the years, they didn't have preachers sometimes that were well suited to work. Brother Benjamin Sharpshire, as many of you know, has been in and out of the islands many times. Where brethren would say, please come back and help us, come back and work with us. There's been a constant turnover of membership in this place, primarily due to those who are in the military. The Halls and Sister Roberts was there because of the military. And when come time for Brother Hall to finish up his work, they come back to you. And this happens with a lot of military folks. And there's this particular turnover. Most of us are immigrants there on that island. In fact, every one of us somewhere has moved in or children of someone have immigrated to the island. So with these differences, plus there was even the doctrinal differences and things like that within the church. But the church has persevered there with all of that and still remains steadfast today. In fact, we have three of the original group that is still members of the Leeward Church, Brother Ernest and Sister Irene Batista and Sister Josephine Renata. They are still faithful, still there, still hanging on, pressing in there and encouraging the rest of us. In the 60s, the mid-60s, the brethren discovered a piece of property and bought this little building, and that's what it is. It's a little house. And they put a great deal of work in it, and about 1965, they began to meet in this little meeting place. The auditorium held about 70 people. Classes were held outside of the building on the sidewalks or underneath the eaves of the building. And they also had a shed in the back of the building where the auditorium now sits to have classes also. But then in 1967, they began work on a new auditorium, a larger auditorium. This is the same auditorium that we meet in today. The building is aging. As we see the auditorium there in the rear of the picture, the front of the building is that old meeting house, now houses our classrooms. This is our meeting place, brother, and this is what we have. This is all we do have. The Lord has blessed us very much to be in this particular place, so the brethren to be here all these years. We've got to continue using this. Brethren, we would like different accommodations, bigger accommodations, more spacious, cleaner. The building is in, because of its age, becoming in disrepair, but we don't have the funds to do this, but nonetheless, it still works. Can't go someplace else. We need parking. Parking is one of the biggest problems that we have. And yet, the land is in Hawaii is very, very expensive. You've never seen the most expensive land in there. A little property like this meeting house is sitting on is probably $1 million, $1.2 million, $1.3 million, maybe as much as $1.6 million. The little house that Robin and I sit in, they bought for $23,000 back in the 60s, and we're blessed to have this little 900 square foot house. Now it's probably worth $600,000. It's prohibitive, brethren. So we've got to make the best with what we got, do what we can, and we're thankful to God what He has given us. Since we've been there, again, there's been a lot of repairs that we've had to do to the meeting house. The termites were in the building, eating the doors off the hinges. There's the bottom of the door of this meeting house. And we've still got to do some repairs, but we took care of the termites. One of these days we'll get around to some of these repairs. The Filipino classroom needed to be renovated. The class was growing and developing. The brethren took these funds out of their own pockets, and brethren did what they did. But we've doubled the size of that Filipino classroom because of the size of the classroom has almost tripled. We need to get gutters put up on the building because of the storm water is causing the property to move. The building sits on posts or concrete pads, and these are moving. And you can see that warp there. I mean, that warp, I did not try to invent that warp there. It is like that. And we've got to get some things taken care of the building. But again, it's what we have. We use parking. We use the dirt parking across the street where they pick up the children from school. This is available to us. We have off-street parking. We're thankful for what we have. And the Lord has blessed us. And we will continue to use this to the best of our ability. There are some factors about us as the Leeward Church that makes working and worshiping together in unity a little bit more difficult. And you understand these problems from one location to the next, but I want you to see the things that we're dealing with. We have military and civilian members. We have English-speaking American. Now, work with me on this one. you'll understand this. We have English-speaking Americans. We have Filipino and Japanese members. Now, some of our members have naturalized, and some of them have been born, so we're all Americans. But I want to help you to understand, we have many people of different nationalities within our congregation. We have mainlanders that has been born there. We have the mainlanders are us that we have immigrated. We have islanders that have been born there. Oftentimes we have those that are moving into the congregation, and this happens a lot, especially with the younger people. They move in, and all of a sudden they want to change things to be like at home, and we have to try to encourage them to plug yourself into this congregation and work and do the best that you can. Plug yourself in here and get the work into the Lord's work. Understand that we're not here. Our work is not only in the church. It's in the community and the friends and the people that you meet. This is something that we have to work with almost everyone that's coming in there. We have thinkings that we really have to watch our judgments, that we don't bind our judgments upon others. We have cultural differences. We have language differences. This picture was taken after services back in the middle of last month. And the brethren, they're just so precious. They're just so wonderful. All brethren are precious. It doesn't matter where they are. You are precious, brethren. Not only precious to the Lord, but precious, we are precious to one another, because of the virtue of the fact of the precious blood of Christ. As we look at the things in the Leeward Church, we see that we need to grow in love and appreciation for one another. One of the things that I think that I'm seeing, and I hope that I'm seeing it correctly, I think I see a church that is growing in love and appreciation. It's always been there, but it needs to be cultivated, just like it needs to be cultivated here and in every place. We do things together. We don't do as much as we should together. I wish we would do more. We have our social interaction. We have the pig roast. Brother Ernest provides a pig for the congregation about 3-4 times a year. We have a cookout once in a while. But brethren are so busy. They've got so much going on in their jobs and stuff like that. But one of the things that we have noticed, and the halls would realize that sometimes we can't get everyone together for our potlucks. And it was just kind of an aggravation. We'd have some, and we wish that others would come. Sister Roberts, last September we had about 65 attend one of the potlucks. It's increasing, it's getting better. It is the encouraging of brethren to not only worship together, but come together, spend time together. Also part of the work that we're doing there, the brethren asked me, because of the seeing the work that we had done in South America when the preaching trips to Colombia and Ecuador, and the translating of my lessons and putting them on bed sheets, this is one of the things that they wanted to develop lessons, that a common lesson can be taught to the entire congregation, where we have English-speaking people, we have the Japanese-speaking people, and we have the Ilocano-speaking people. The Ilocano is a dialect, one of the many dialects of the Philippines. And we're working hard at this. I'm not a professional when it comes to knowing any other languages. I don't speak English well, but we try. Anything that we can do together to bring at least that Sunday morning group together. That is the group that we're going to get everyone there and spend time speaking the Word of God and try to keep everybody on the same page and growing together. This is what we're trying to do. This is one of the key things that we spend a lot of time on this, from basically Wednesday night to Sunday morning, is working to translate, not necessarily a chart, but the lesson. And my Ilocano, and I can't speak Japanese, but at least I can scratch something together from the Word of God in those translations. The Word of God is the constant. That's the most beautiful thing. And then the brethren, they will work on it. They'll smile and they'll say, oh, you didn't get this right. They'll laugh about it and show me how to correct it. It's something to engage them and something they can use to share with other people. One of the things that we need to be reminded in at Leeward, and especially those who come in, but also here in this place, in every congregation of the Lord's people, when we walk into a congregation of God's people, we become a member in this particular place, we need to remember this is not my church. This is not your church or their church. It is not an American church at Leeward. It's not a Filipino church. It is the Lord's church. It is the Lord's people. It is His body. And we must not try to recreate His church to be, again, like the one we come from or something like that. We must not try to make the church into our image, but we must seek to better the congregation and develop one another, develop ourselves from the Word of God. As we look at the attendance of the congregation there at Leeward, what we have been seeing is a constant leaving, if you will, of people from Leeward. But it is also interesting to watch that the attendance is staying the same. One of the things that we've seen at Leeward over the years is that the Filipino brethren just were not, they weren't attending as they ought. But it is because of that friction we have amongst the members there where a lot of times the younger military members, I don't want to insult the Halls because Brother Hall was one of those older members and these are the faithful people. But we have sometimes these younger members who come in and they think they know how to change everything and tell people what to do. And we have people basically the English speakers, the American speakers, whatever from the mainland were somewhat more aggressive. The Filipinos are much more laid back. And sometimes that allows this to be walked on and things like that. We're trying to help the congregation come together to be one as a congregation. And what we're seeing in the development of this is the Ilocano brethren are coming to the forefront. They're becoming better. They're growing. They're developing. They want to be there. They come with joy. And in fact, one sister had made that statement. She said, and Rob and I never questioned this. She says, it's now fun to come to church. And I think about that and I wonder, well, what happened? I mean, what was it? But let's not go there. Past is the past. Let's move forward. I don't get sometimes some things that happen in churches, but brethren, let's be better. Forget the past. Let's start over. If there's sin, let's repent. Let's move on. Let's do better. In the years that we've been there, 2.5 years now, hard to believe, we have seen about 56 some come to the congregation. 22 of them was in the military or dependents of the military since we've been there, and 20 of them have left. We have only 2 in the military currently at Leeward, and those 2 that are faithful are folks from Alabama, believe it or not. But in this time, not only have a lot of these left, but also those before. The Hall, Sister Roberts, they've got some place to go. But we've had about 92 leave. But look at the attendance. The attendance is constant. And so we see growth and we see development. We can see it. It can be measured. The attendance is still running around 60. We're still those that would come on Sunday night and Wednesday night, like the Halls and Sister Roberts, they were faithful when we were there. They left. The Lynches, they went to Germany. Brother and Sister Dill, that you know, their faithful attendance, well, they've moved too. And yet there are others starting to come to attendance. So we're still seeing somewhat the average in attendance, but what's not reflected here is the fact that people have left and moved on. So we see growth, we see development, and we are blessed. This is a Sunday evening worship, a picture taken here back in the middle of the month. And then Wednesday evening after Bible study, another attendance. This is the only picture where I'm in. I got my head stuck up there behind Brother Guy Galermo and Brother Ernest. We've had several baptisms there on island. Thanks to God, people has listened to the word and have changed their life to the point that they want to clean their life completely from sin. Brother Robert was obeyed the gospel almost, you know, right after we got there. And he is still faithful to the Lord. He has since married, got a little girl. Brother Bill was baptized, by the way. Have you noticed anything about our baptistry? Well, we have 2 baptistries, one under the pulpit, and I'm thankful that no one has pulled the switch and I fell through the floor yet. But we also have the Pacific Ocean. We've got one of the largest baptistries that there is. And Brother Guy Galermo Jr. was baptized in Christ. His father buried him into Christ, and obviously he is still faithful. And Miss Eusebia is 80 years old. She obeyed the gospel here and was one of the last ones to obey the gospel last November. And she is faithful with her son and daughter-in-law and grandchildren. And there was a couple others that was baptized. One young man obeyed the gospel, and he has moved with his dad and mom back to the mainland, so he's no longer with us. And we did have another baptism, but regretfully he fell away. Again, things that are touching our attendance. We have no control of people moving in and moving out. We get after people who fall away, and we've had a few of these that have done this, but, we have no control over visitors, but we're thankful for all the visitors that we get. Come and see us. We are blessed to have visitors. We're thankful to have visitors. But again, we see constant things. One of the things that have been constant has been discouraging is our contribution. We have a lot of poor folks there. With the military people, the contribution was a little bit better, but as those have left, the contribution is down. But again, we see constants. One of the things that has very much encouraged me, again, is in our Bible classes and the development of that. But one of the things, and we'll talk about that more in just a second, one of the things that you need to understand, most of us, I guess probably all of us, have rode in a car, maybe one or two have walked. In islands, a lot of people can't afford cars. They don't have cars. A lot of people ride the bus. They go through some very hard times. And just to get the services. The buses don't run regular on Sunday evenings. Now, we said, we'll tell them if you'll get there on Sunday evening or Wednesday evening, we'll get you home. There's four or five of us that has cars. We would love to take people home. So we're encouraging people, and one by one, people are doing better. It is better. There is no doubt it's better. But if we could just get people to say, you know, okay, I'll come and figure out how to get home, we'll work on that. But this is precious to watch brethren at the buses. This is difficult, brethren. Buses are not regular. They're difficult, and they have to deal with the nonsense with the people on the bus, and sometimes the bus driver is kind of rude, but yet the brethren will drive, you know, ride a bus for an hour to get the services. This is a precious thing. We have our Bible studies just like you have your Bible studies. Sunday morning, I'm dealing with the book of Romans on Sunday morning. Sunday or Wednesday evening, we're dealing with a Bible survey. We're nearing the end of that. The Ilocano brethren have an Ilocano class, an adult Bible class in their classroom on Sunday morning. And the teenage class, there's about five in it now, they have their classes. Brother Guy Galermo's teaching that both times. And then we have a preschool class. Brethren, one of the things we lack is students. We need parents and students. Some, they move in, they move out, right, Wesley? They move in and they move out. But we do what we can. We're looking forward to another family moving in here pretty soon or scheduled to move in. They have two children. And we'll see what else we can get. It's also the matter of neighbors coming sometimes and bringing their children. That doesn't happen that often. We wish it would happen more often. But we use and do what we can. But one of the interesting things is we look at the total number of attending Sunday morning Bible classes. This is the total classes. If you notice what's going on since about last August and the attendance is up in the Bible classes, this is a great encouragement. This is where we're seeing the growth and development within the congregation. There's something taking place there. And it's not me. It's the brethren. It's their growth. And this is one of the better things. This is those marks that you can say, what can I see? Just a constant attendance on Sunday morning of averaging around 40 or so. This is very encouraging. In fact, when you look at those in my English-speaking Bible class, and all of those have left, Sister Hall, the Dills, and so many other, my Bible class is going down, down, down. And yet the Filipino classroom, look at the attendance going up in the dark purple there. So we see great encouraging signs. And the English-speaking Bible class will increase as we have visitors. And hopefully we'll have some others move in. But we have no control over this, but we use what we can. But again, look at the growth amongst the Filipinos. We see it there. We have problems in Hawaii just like everyone else has problems. Some problems we can do nothing about. Other problems we work on. The economy, the recession, lower contributions, people moving in and out. Less people moving out than that move in. We have spiritual weakness just like there's spiritual weakness that the elders have to deal with here. There's attendance issues. We have those who are poor, very poor, in fact, living hand to mouth. We have those who have. We have members in the congregation that within itself have materialistic ideas and worldliness, just like you have to deal with that here amongst yourselves. Bills are up just like everywhere. We have fewer visitors because of the economy. That's something that's kind of discouraging. When I come there, we used to have all kinds of phone calls say, how do we get to church? How do we get there? And in the last year and a half, that has really dropped off. But that visitors are the gravy. That's not our congregation is the visitors. Our congregation is our people. And so this has afforded us to really help us to grow and develop. So with problems, we work at solutions. Some things we can't do nothing about. But our one solution is coming together as God's people and grounding the congregation. And this is what we're working at. Again, contribution, economy. People moving out, can't do nothing about it, but let's do what we can. Not focus on what's wrong with things, but focus on and being thankful for every soul that is there. With my support that you supply and others supply, we supply the tracts, the ink, the printing for our mailouts, our handouts, and things like we do that ourselves. Robin works for the federal government, and out of her support, we take care of this, and we're thankful to be able to have that particular privilege. When we come there, there was no tracks of anything, and that was amazing. But we've putting the tracks in. We're getting some periodicals for some good sound teaching to try to balance people that wants that. But we provide it. We make it available to all, whoever wants, however many they want. And what's interesting, here's the interesting thing. Amongst the Filipino brethren, amongst the brethren, I kind of gave the clue out here. Amongst the brethren, who do you think are going through the tracks? I already told the punchline. It's the Filipino brethren. It's the Filipino brethren going through those tracks and taking tracks. And they'll walk out and say, well, can I take three of these? I said, take three, take five, take as many as you want. They're the ones that's sharing the word with their friends and neighbors, through their Jehovah's Witness friends, to their Mormon friends, to the Iglesia Ni Cristo friends, that they are doing their common discussions each day. Brethren, this is the growth. This is the little that we see going on. We use the Bible correspondence courses as a tool to teach. In fact, in my office is where I grade them and take care of them, so that's my supply. This is that last picture was just the group of correspondent courses that some of the brethren can grab as they want and utilize. But since we've been there, we've not had the success in the Bible correspondent courses like we had in West Virginia. In West Virginia, we had the free community bulletin boards that we would put a pocket on and advertise, and we were doing literally thousands of correspondent courses there. There in Hawaii, we don't have those free community bulletin boards. We do advertising in the newspaper, word of mouth. The newspaper is the most expensive advertising I've ever seen in my life. One little article like this, one column wide, $800-some-odd. It's expensive, very expensive. So we get whatever contacts we get. But people are studying. We have contacts, make contacts. Recently, there was one baptism in the Philippines. One sister, one of our sisters, signed up her grandchildren for the Bible correspondent courses. As a result, one has obeyed the gospel just recently. Again, we live here on Waipahu. We're coming down to the end of this, so bear with me. Let's come to the end of this thing. Rob and I, we live here on Waipahu. We're not there on vacation. When I go to the beach, I wear my overhauls. When we have a baptism, I wear my overhauls. That's all, this is the most beautiful place on earth. No, it's not. Alabama is very beautiful too. Everywhere is beautiful. So let's not get the idea that we're there for that. We're there for preaching the gospel. We live there on the island of Oahu. We're blessed to live in this little 900-foot square house. We've made it work. Interesting that brother and sister Sharpshire raised three children in this house. Robin and I, we can't imagine that. But we are entirely blessed. We have so much, a beautiful backyard. 365 days a year, the grass is green. No snow. And this year with all the snow and stuff going up in the north, and you've had some snow here in the cold weather, yes, we would sit there with our feet off in the late afternoon and call back to the mainland, to the children, to mom and dad, say, what are you doing? Is it cold there? Yes, we're bad people. My little office, I have a little 10 by 10 office, but it's adequate. It does the purpose. Robin's living room. We are entirely blessed. In closing this particular part of this, I want to share with you one of those things that just takes the breath right out of me. Again, we're not there for the sightseeing, but you can't keep from it. I do the radio program on Tuesdays, and as we're going home, or usually what we do is I pick up Robin or we meet someplace downtown after the taping of the radio program, eat dinner, and then drive home, and we drive right into the sunset. And sometimes our mouths are wide open. I had the camera in my car, and Robin says, I got to have a camera. You got to get me a camera. There are things I see that I can't take a picture of. This bursting sunset sometimes is just absolutely unreal, just driving down the interstate. We can't walk away from that. But again, our purpose is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, brethren, thank you very much for sharing with us the word, or your precious things, your prayers, support, sharing with us in the preaching of the Word of God. Brethren, the Lord is gracious. He is great. And we're thankful for everything, every good that He has done and provided for us.